Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns newscast dated January 5th, 2018. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. The background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, Happy New Year, Asclepius. How's it going?
Well, thank you, and Happy New Year to you too, Lord Baldrith. Yeah, going really well. Had a wonderful holiday, fantastic Christmas with the family. A week down south at a holiday home. So yeah, come back refreshed and recharged and back to work. Had a bit of an insane day or two, but it all happens. And looking forward to this year, especially the year of the release. So, and how are you going?
Yes, it has been very busy at work, coming back off some vacation there and get hit harder than normal trying to catch up and do everything else. But we had a great Christmas, great New Year's. It was fun hanging out with everybody, family and the kids and stuff. So I'm just glad to be onto a new year and new game release. Yeah, I hope that comes through this year. Looking forward to it, all the changes and the updates they're going to put in for release, which is bound to happen.
Oh, fantastic. And while we have the opportunity, a very happy and prosperous new year to all the community, to all of our faithful listeners, however many or few they may be. I hope everybody has a great year. And really, I hope the year brings you everything you could want.
Oh, definitely. A happy new year to everyone out there. And the few people that are listening to us, thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we really appreciate our listeners. It's awesome. And hey, it gives us something to do. And we have fun doing it.
Yeah, we learn a lot here.
We do. Okay. And the news is we have another news release this week. It's number 261. We're getting up there, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Wow. Okay, new log homes. And this is what we have for you in this week. Well, as usual, we've got game development, we've got news announcements, and we have the important community updates. But first of all, in the game development category, there's new log homes in the game. Don't they look pretty smashing?
Oh, they're gorgeous. I'm very impressed.
That's lovely. And they say that in release 50 and 51, they're adding three new log homes to the game. There's two craftable and one you can buy. So first off is the Hollow Log House. Now, players really liked the Witch's Hollow Log House that we introduced in South Longfall Wetland in release 46. Hey, I'm going to have to go and look at that. I have not seen that yet. Have you?
I haven't seen it either. I was thinking, wow, I missed that.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. That's what happens when you don't go to South Longfall Wetland.
Yeah, so many places to go and so many places to miss.
Ah, tell me about it. I know. I've been in a bit of a boring cycle lately because I'm just trying to grind and get the XP up so that I can raise skills. And the Crag Foothills is sort of old reliable. I know that I can go there, I know I'm going to survive, but I know I get lots of XP. So that's fine. I've gone to a few other places that are fun. They're a bit dangerous. I've been trying out a few of the passes, and they're interesting. It's nice to feel that I can actually get through the passes these days. Different kinds of monsters, but you don't quite get the same rate of earning of XP.
Yeah, I actually went to Boreas Colossus and did some pretty fun riddle quests there. That was quite cool.
Oh, they're great, aren't they? Yeah. No, they really are stimulating, and they are such a lot of fun. And the good thing is, if you get it wrong, they just zip you back to the start and you try over again.
Yep. Yeah, and playing chess, that was fun too. That was quite a game.
It was, yes. And it makes you stop and think about it. You think, yeah, okay, what are we doing here? Yeah, I really enjoyed that section. That was great.
And the only thing I was disappointed in is once I got through all those things, it's like, well, now what? It's like nothing happened. What was I trying to accomplish?
Right. Now, were you not trying to get a fragment of a lens there?
Well, I don't know. We were taking a new person, well, one of our friends that keeps coming back and hating the game, but we were taking him to some of the new places and thinking he might like this. And so we really didn't have a quest we were going on.
Ah, okay. Yes. Well, I think if you've been to see the Oracle, and if she says to you, you know, you have to get these lenses, and then you go and do this and this and this, and you get these sheets from all over the land, and you can find one of the lenses in the Boreas Colossus. And if you've been there and received that quest, then yes, there will be a trunk there, and you will find a piece of a lens.
I wonder if that, is that related to the Courage quest?
Yes, it is.
I've got another character that's on the Courage quest that's kind of stuck, so it probably would have been better to take her. I didn't even think about that.
Ah, right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
Well, I wanted my mage, because I've been trying to work. I put some archery on him, because I'm just tired of dying, and it's made him a lot stronger.
Yeah, dying gets a bit old, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm just, you know, magic just does not do the job. I mean, it's helpful, but it's not something you should use for your main damage, because it's not there.
Sure, yeah, yeah. The only contrary thought I would give to that is that I've run into a few people who seem to be running magic, but they're the uber powerful ones who've been, they must have been playing the game Dawn to Dark for months, and they're up to, I don't know what level they're up, but got 800 or 1,000 or more hit points. They just hit you with a death ray and an earthquake, and it's good night, Irene.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's some magics that I don't use that are probably really good. I don't like death magic. I don't want to use it on my character. It doesn't fit my class or my lore or whatever I'm going for. But I've got my ice stuff. My arrows do about 200 damage a piece, no matter what I do. But my aim shot does more damage at level 70. It does more damage than my ice arrows at level 100. So it's weird.
Well, yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, but yes, I agree with you. Archery is a really good skill. I'm doing some serious damage with my bow. And yeah, it's got me out of many a hard situation. I love it.
I do too, and I love mixing. I've mixed and matched some arrows. I worked my earth arrow up real high and my ice arrow up real high, so I've got ice earth arrows and all my archery arrows. And I feel like I'm just so powerful. It's cool.
Isn't that a nice feeling when you get to be a bit more powerful? You think, I can actually survive this place. Wonderful. I went through Sanctus Spine the other night, and I was kicking butt where left and right. It was great.
It is. It's fun. I still can't handle Crag. I went there, and I was doing okay, but I got killed all of a sudden. Something, a whole bunch of stuff came after me, so it's dangerous still.
Oh, yeah. When they come in a rush, I find the only thing I can do is run backwards and try to outrun them and ply them with arrows as I go.
Yeah, the bad thing is you got those doggone archers. They cast that disabling shot, and you can't get away because you can't move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that hurts, that disabling shot. I think it's fair enough to have it in my inventory, but they shouldn't have it in theirs.
Well, yeah, and I've been saying that. No, this disabling shot is very, very, very powerful because it does 50% slow at level 1. My ice arrow at GM does 44% with my icy stuff on.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, ice arrow. That disabling shot is good. I like it. But yeah, it's not fun when you get hit by it.
No, I've got it in my rotation. It doesn't do much damage, but it sure is nice for slow.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because somebody's rushing at you, then they're only coming at half speed now, and you can drill them with quite a few other things.
Yeah, I'll drill them with that, and then ice arrows, that'll kill them and slow them, so that works out good. So yeah, it's a pretty good combo.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And if I hit them with a chain lightning, there's a fair chance that they'll stop altogether.
That's true. You know, that chain lightning, even in cloth, has a serious fizzle problem, so that hurts.
Oh, yeah, it does hurt when you hit it 3 or 4 times and it just doesn't work.
It kind of takes your focus pool and gets rid of it.
Yeah, that's right. But still, I still like it. I still love it. I still try using it.
I know, I'm really just shocked at how bad the fizzle rate is without a staff on. I've just got a bow on. I'm wearing cloth. It's like I'm still getting fizzle on everything. It's like, this is crazy.
I know. And I'm wearing a combination of hardened leather and bone. And so my fizzle rate would be even higher.
Oh, yeah. You're doing the pure archer with the leather stuff. Oh, the fizzle on that stuff. Yeah, I've got an archer that's a pure archer. It's a girl. And yeah, with leather on. Forget it. You can't cast anything. You can't even cast your shields, your icy shields.
Right, yeah. Well, I've wound up a follow-through skill in the focus tree. pretty high, so it's not too bad, but yeah, yeah, you know, it's something you have to think about.
Yeah, I pushed her all the way up to 80 in that doggone follow through, but it's like, okay, I took off another 2%. Okay, we're getting there.
Yeah, I know. I know the improvements are so minute, aren't they?
Yeah, you think, boy, it took, you know, a million of my pool to get this 20 points, and it's like, well, this 2%, I don't know. It just seems like it's kind of a lot of work for a little gain.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I know. It's like playing poker machines, you know, you keep on going, hoping for a win.
Yeah, that's right. If you could find the right combination, you know, that'd be the way to go.
Oh, I would, yes. Anyway, I suppose I better get back to the news.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should charge for this podcast, shouldn't we? People would pay to hear us rambling.
Drive people crazy.
Yeah, we could. Okay, they've turned this into a house. And at the Hollow Log House, it's a single-story village-sized house. It'll be craftable via a recipe in-game that you'll gain from a quest in Release 51. How cool is that?
That's awesome. I'd find that quest. That'll be great.
That's right. There are going to be so many quests in the game. Everybody's going to love it.
We've been asking for quests, and they are producing them.
They are. They're wheeling them out by the truckload, which is so good to see. That's great. And really, it just reinforces my determination. Once the game's released, I'm going to press that magic button, wipe all the main quests, go back and do it again, because that's going to be huge fun.
Yeah, and you'll get double experience and all the other stuff. It'll be great.
Oh, it'll be awesome. Mind you, yeah, it will be a challenge putting the vermilion lenses together. You know about that one, don't you?
Yeah, I'm to the very beginning of that with my girl. She couldn't handle the desert, though. She couldn't even search to figure out what to do. It's bad there.
Oh yeah, that is hard. Yes, yeah, but yeah, you have to find three pieces of that lens, and when I did it, you just had to take them to some chamber and put them together. I think it was down in, but now, yeah, you take them three pieces and you put them together at the Obsidian Forge.
Oh no, you gotta use the forge?
You do have to use the forge. I mean, you just, you know, activate the forge. Evidently, you just put the three pieces on and yeah, they'll fuse together and you'll have a lens. All the time, you're fighting all the elementals.
I'm just wondering how long you have before you get bombarded.
Yeah, not very. You'd have to be at an incredibly high level to go by this by yourself, or you have to grow with a group of friends.
Yeah, I would say in cloth, even with all your shields on, you would be devastated.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went down there a while ago, and I've got pretty good protections, pretty good buffs, and my armor is nicely enchanted. So all the elementals were easy meat for me. But, yeah, I don't know how long they'd leave me alone if I was trying to craft something.
It works like a checkpoint, right, when you're standing on that crafting table? Or just they get more and more and more?
Yeah, I think it attracts them. Yeah.
So even if they're not hurting you, but when you get, like, 30 and 40 of them after you, you're going to be in trouble.
I reckon. Oh, well. It'll be interesting. And I think the community has been complaining, and Chris, I think, has mooted the idea. Okay, maybe if you're on that particular quest, they might make another instance of it that's a bit easier.
That would be sweet. At least give us the option to choose easier mode, thank you.
Yeah, that's right, yes. In general terms, though, it's going to be the insanely hard stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they want the game to be easy, but at the same time, they've kind of made it clear that these, you know, the story quests should be soloable, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, they are. I think mostly they have to be. Or with a party. But yeah, they want them to. They want you to finish the quest.
Yeah, it may be a challenge. You might have to raise up to 80, 90 level, but you should be able to do it.
Yeah, you should. And like I keep telling people, you'll probably be able to do it after a year.
That's right, yeah. What, it takes about a year to get to 80, something like that?
Yep, that's right. So, you know, have patience. You'll get there.
Yep, I'm still chugging along with low 80s myself.
Yes. Okay, anyway, enough rambling. Not only do we have this hollow log house, we have a hollow log story house with a tower. So there's a house with a tower on top of it, and that's also pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome looking. I've never seen a house like that.
No, they're right. I mean, yeah, it does look a bit rustic, and it, you know, poles sticking out all over it, but hey, it has character, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like it's in the middle of a forest. That's a great look.
It does. Yeah, incredible. Okay, so that will be village size, and it'll be available in the add-on store and on Crown Merchants in-game for release 50. Nice.
Yeah, I like to see inside that one. It looks like a unique design inside, too.
It does. And there's a picture of the front of the home with a second-story balcony. Nice. Lovely. And, yeah, you got a shot of the interior. Very nice. Great. And it looks like a bit of a tower at the back. Wow.
And nice area to decorate the roof up there. That's cool.
Yeah, that's lovely. You could put all your outdoor furniture up on the roof, have a barbecue up there.
Yep, that's right. Barbecue would be fun.
Very nice. Great. And not only, but also, there's a log cabin.
Now, this is the one I like. Ooh, it's beautiful.
Oh, it is. Now, that looks like a real traditional log cabin. You know, we were floating down a river in Alaska many years ago, and you could see log cabins going past, and this is pretty much what they look like. They were beautiful.
They're awesome. I definitely think I want a log cabin, because that's something you put in the snow. It looks really nice.
That is. I was thinking that when I was looking at it. I thought, this belongs in a snowy area. So, yes, we definitely need one for Wizard's Rest.
Yeah, and hopefully it's one of the craftable ones, and I'll figure out how to craft it.
Yep, there you go. It's craftable by a recipe in-game. It's village-sized. Nice. Lovely.
So now I got to find another village lot, though. It's one of my problems.
Yeah, you do. So, yeah, you got raw timbers on the outside, but it's nicely finished on the inside. Oh, that's sweet. And they're hoping to have that in the game by release 50.
Oh, hey, that's coming up, then.
Yeah, coming up pretty close. Wow. Nice. Okay, next item is the making of you. Okay, and that's another place I haven't been to yet. This is disgusting.
I've seen you too, and I didn't ever think about going in there.
Yeah. Oh well, we'll have to. Says the elven city of Yew has been shielded from outsiders by a nearly constant shroud of fog that only clears during certain alignments of the heavenly bodies. The city itself is full of wonderful elven architecture, and because of the natural foggy defenses, has never been fortified. Oh, that's cool. Yew is currently a clone of Xanaford, but it's being rebuilt for release 50. So, you know, more and more they're doing this, they're rebuilding, they're uncloning all their towns. Yeah, it does sort of look like they're getting ready for release, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, they've got so many left to unclone, I wonder if they're going to get them all done.
Yeah, wow. You never know. It's possible that they'll have the essential ones done, and they're just going to keep on going after release, like everybody else does.
Well, did you notice that even Owl's Head is still got construction signs on it? It's like, wow.
Yeah, I did. Yes. I said, come on, this town's been here since the start. What are you talking about?
It's like the most popular city in the game, and it's still under construction. It's just kind of funny.
I know. Well, this is being built by a civil service company who, you know, keeps civil service hours, and they're probably on strike for a while.
Yeah, it's just like government workers, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
And plus, don't we have like somebody named Lum that doesn't like the Hidden Veil or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a April Fool's Day joke some time ago. Yeah, they put out a post to say that the whole map was going to be divided in half, and half was going to be PvP, half was going to be not PvP, and there was no choice, and if you're living in the wrong area, well, that's too bad, you're going to have to move, and Hidden Veil, well, nobody likes that anyway, so we're getting rid of it.
Yeah, I was going to laugh at that. I was like, oh, that's lovely. We're falling off the earth.
Yes. Oh, dear, they think of some good stuff.
I think they had some people freaked out on that, too. It was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. And yeah, you really have to be careful when reading posts from Port Lerium on or about the 1st of April.
Yeah, they've done it to us like 3 times, so hopefully, you know, everybody's somewhat aware.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Yes.
But there's a lot of new players, so they may not be.
Yeah, there's some new suckers coming in.
And they can have all the more fun.
They can indeed. Okay, but we're going to you. And here is Sorcerer Steve to give us an update. He says, before the holidays, I showed you guys a look at the main entrance into the town. Now here's a look coming in from the opposite direction. So as you've seen before, there are some small streams that cross the town center. These streams actually originate from a large underground spring. That's cool. This underwater sinkhole with crystalline waters plunges to dark unknown depths and is a key landmark in the town of Yew. That's a pretty picture, isn't it?
That's really cool. It makes me wonder if they're looking at some swimming options, some diving options. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he says in the next year, come explore Yew and take a dive into its Elven Springs. So you must be able to swim there. Yeah, I would love them to develop the tech of underwater swimming.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be easy as just creating another scene, you know, that means underwater.
Well, that's right. I mean, in Ultima 9 we had it. And you could go almost as deep as you like. I mean, if you go too deep, you suddenly die. Well, okay, that's fair. But you had this little progress bar along the screen. That was your oxygen supply, and you could see it running out, down out, down out, down out. And if you didn't get back to the surface in time, well, you died.
Yeah, there were some really slick quests in there where you had to get to the bottom to pick something up and go back to the top, and it was fun.
It was fun, yeah. So, I don't know, maybe it'll be in episode 2. I'm sure they'll develop it, and that will be great fun.
Yeah, that's a whole other realm of exploration.
It is, because they can make all sorts of stuff underwater. Underwater caves, underwater passages, and chests and stuff. And nasty beasties, of course.
Maybe a little water breathing in the water tree there?
Ooh, yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, I like it. Okay, and more pictures. There's a caravan wagon near the entrance of town. Yew looming in the background. Yeah, very nice. And again, we're looking down from atop the walkways, high above in the tree canopy, and you can see a bonfire at the town stage in front of the central hero tree. And that's a huge tree, that one. Wow.
It is.
Okay, and the night view to finish off with. With a mist covering the town square. I think that would be a lovely place to visit. Great.
Yeah, I'll have to get in there and release 50.
Yep, for sure. All right, next item. We've got the R48 telethon items that they promised us. And they said they have been faithfully working on. And here's a few examples that they've done up. That ice crown, doesn't that look pretty amazing?
That's beautiful. I don't know how it'd look on my guy, but you put on a girl.
Yes. Yeah, funny how some of these things, they're really not gender neutral, are they?
No, they're not. Not unless you don't really care about how you look, then yeah.
No, that's right. I mean, I just don't quite feel comfortable in those little bodices and the bras and panties.
No, me neither. I bought that fancy circlet, you know, that I think it's Lord British's circlet off the crown store because I wanted to make it my armor. But you can't break it down into a pattern. So frustrating.
Oh, that is frustrating, yeah. Oh, dear. Never mind. I'm sure whoever it fits will be happy to wear it, and it'll be lovely. I'm sure a lot of people will be wearing it to parties and gatherings and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It would go beautiful with maybe the wedding dress.
Oh, it would. Yeah, that'd be awesome. And a nice wand to go with it. Now, doesn't that look cool?
Oh, yeah, that's a neat-looking wand. Yeah, I like that.
It is. That's great. Okay, next we move on to the R49 post-mortem telethon, which is nearly here. Good heavens.
Yeah, next week, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so, hey, all holidays are over, year end's over, back to work for everybody. Wow, so Port Lerium's back to work as well. And they're going to celebrate the arrival of what's going to be an exciting 2018. And this releases Postmortem Telethon. Well, they've got new holiday stretch goal items, and they've got prizes and deep dives and all that sort of stuff that they always have. So that's great. On January the 8th, people. And as they stated, as they've been doing for a few now, they've changed the format. It's shorter. It only goes for 4 hours. So you don't have to stay up all day and night to watch it, which is awesome. But they're going to try and cover as many things as they can with more Q&As and deep dives and more Q&As and then the ending, and that'll be it. So here's the program at 3 p.m. Central Time on January the 8th. Introductions, including Black Sun, and a postmortem Q&A, a deep dive on advanced combat and skills and leveling. Hey, that'd be good to see. And 4:30, a world building tour. 5:30, another deep dive about the story. 6:15, the Q&A continues and winds up at 7 o'clock, so that'll be great. Now, there's no expiring items this time, so you don't have to panic. Everything will still be in the add-on store when you want to get it, so that's great. And as usual, we got some stretch goals. And as always is, all you have to do to receive all these lovely goodies is to contribute a minimum of $5 during the telethon, or during the day of the telethon. They give you 12 hours to do that. And for 10,000, you can juggle snowballs. 25,000 gets us an ice pipe. 35,000, a snow dragon, which is basically a snowman dragon made out of sticks and such. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50, an ice chest set. Hey, that'd be fun. And 65k, an ice halberd, an ice spear, and an ice axe. And 80,000, ice dragon statue with icy effects. 80, talking about ice, and our little darling 2-year-old. They love stuff on telly. They love the Disney shows. They love the cartoons. I think I and her parents just about know Frozen off by heart.
They'll have you watch that a few times, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've watched it more than a few times.
It's probably fun to listen to them sing to it and stuff, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. And it's really weird. Once or twice, I've been trying to put her down for a daytime sleep, have her on my shoulder, and she doesn't want to go down. So, in desperation, get out the Frozen soundtrack and play it on my radio, and she starts singing along to it.
That's cute.
It is. It is. It's even more cute if she goes to sleep.
Yeah, that's the good thing about it. That music, it'll soothe you to sleep without even realizing it.
That's right. So yeah, we've got all the Frozen stuff this time, and it'll be fantastic to see how much we can get. Okay, and as usual, you can cheer on the devs, and for every 2,500, they have to do something crazy. Sing or dance or perform some other weird act. And spinning the Wheel of Fortune as they do. So sales are coming up. And every time something comes up, it'll go on sale about 20% off for an hour. So if there's something you really want, something you're really after, keep an eye out. It could go on sale and save yourself a bit of money. Fantastic. And, of course, they're giving away prizes, including Frosty goodies and bank upgrades and Kotos, store credit, relics by ruled merchandise, and a bunch of other items. They give away prizes every hour and some multiple times. You just have to be alive and active in Discord chat at the time. And they pick people out at random. So, that's great.
Yeah.
Again, submit questions, because they want to have lots of questions to answer. And as they always say, to keep it sane, to keep it real, and to keep it courteous, no more than 3 questions. If you've got a question about bugs, they go in the bug forum, thanks. They'll sort them out there. Don't ask when's this coming, because that's dealt with in the schedule or in the quarterly updates or the post-release plans. That's already dealt with. And if you're going to write three whole paragraphs, forget about it. They're never going to be able to read that. Keep it short. And that's it. Okay. All right. Next item. The new free trial is continuing. And this is pretty cool. And they have changed this a little while ago, as we have mentioned. I hope there's a few people joining into this. Have you noticed any visitors around lately?
Yes, I've been on quite a bit. We were guiding our friend around and got him to play for a day or two. And when we were there, we saw a lot of people with that new player tag. I forget what it's called. There's a lot of people, though, so it's really cool to see.
Oh, well, that's really encouraging. And, I mean, I got to be honest, I know the game isn't for everybody. If you're a mad click-click-clickety player who likes the twitch reflex action first-person shooters, it might not appeal. But I reckon it's going to appeal to a lot of people. It is a really, really good, deep, intense, involving game once you get into it. So I hope a lot of people join in, and I hope a lot of people stay. But just to reiterate what they've said, it is continuous now. There is no arbitrary limit. You can hop on and play for free. But you are a visitor. You cannot get past a maximum skill level of 50. You're only playing the Path of Courage. And you can't interact with vendors. You can't own property or interact with property or items. You can't interact with public chests. And you can't give items to other players. You can't ransom. You can't be ransomed. So there's a lot of things you can't do, but hopefully there's enough to give people a real taste for the game and to develop a love for it. So let's hope it's a great success.
It's actually a really good idea, because you can get somebody hooked onto the game. And so if you want to continue, you got to just spend that. It's not much, is it? It's like $39 or something.
Well, that's right. Exactly. And I was just reflecting on that. It might be a little bit like reading a book. Sometimes when I start a book, I read the first couple of chapters. Yeah, this is all right. Yeah, I'll read another chapter tomorrow. Yeah, another chapter. It's not too bad. I'll read another chapter when I get the time. By the time I'm half or two-thirds of the way through it, I'm really invested in it, and I really have to see how it finishes. So you can't put it down. And I hope this free trial has this sort of effect on people. It mightn't be that captivating initially, but give it time, it'll grow on you.
Yeah, especially when they start fleshing out some of these systems and they make it so the agriculture is better and the harvesting, the crafting all gets improved, then they're going to start thinking, wow, this is fun. I wish I could get involved in this stuff. It looks awesome.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, full marks for doing that. And, yeah, if you see a visitor around, say hi to them and welcome them to the game. And if you can help them out in any way, then by all means do it. Okay, they are still advertising for an office admin and executive assistant. Oh dear, they haven't found one yet.
Hey, you'd think that'd be easy. Maybe not.
Yeah, well, maybe not. I mean, you're working with a bunch of fairly insane people, so you never know.
Yeah, it might put some people off, though.
That's right. No, they're an awesome bunch. I would actually absolutely love to work there. That'd be a great experience.
Yeah, that'd be a fun job, wouldn't it? You should try doing that one.
Yeah, I reckon. Even that I don't have the qualifications for. That's tough. I mean, they want you to coordinate and basically run the office and support all they do. Phone calls, correspondence, budgeting, bookkeeping, records, databases, assist the boss with making plans, bookings, arrangements, stuff like that. You have to have at least 2 years experience as an administrator or executive assistant. And you have to be able to write well, present well, follow technical and business conversations. You have to have a professional writing style. It has to look good. Okay. And you have to be able to research stuff if you need to. High attention to detail. Probably if you're a little bit OCD, that would help. Adaptable, take feedback well, self-driven, self-reliant, be willing to tackle almost anything, and you can handle Windows and Office, that's great. If you can handle QuickBooks and Google Docs and Google Sheets and Dropbox and Slack and Jira, well, that's extra, that's over the top, you'll be in straight away. So, if you know anybody or if you'd like to do it, please get them along to jobs@portalarium.com quickly. They need someone to tidy up the office. Okay, and as mentioned also previously, there's a huge party happening on January the 12th at Portalarium Studio. On Friday, January 12th at 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central. If anybody's in the area, they are welcome to come along. And wouldn't that be great to meet and celebrate with the devs?
That would be a lot of fun. It looks like a great time.
It absolutely would. And plenty of food and drinks, games, storytelling, jokes, a live in-game party so that you can even join them in-game if you can't get there. A video live stream, live music, Twitch and audio streaming, Discord chat. They got the lot. So it'll be a great time. Really looking forward to that one. Okay, next we move on to, there's a weekend flash sale this weekend, and this week it is tick-tock, clocks. So if you ever felt that you needed a clock, well, now is the time to get it because they're 20% off at the add-on store.
Yeah, the new clocks are beautiful, aren't they?
And look at this. I didn't realize they had so many flaming clocks. It's unbelievable.
They've crafted a couple of them myself. The grandfather clocks are just lovely.
Oh, that's awesome. And how much did that take to craft?
It's actually fairly easy. You just got to make a simple clock, two simple clocks, I think, and then it just takes some wood and some of the gear stuff that I have some of. So it was fairly easy for me.
Oh, good on you. That's great. Yeah, but you got to GM in carpentry, didn't you?
Yes, but it's not very high on that particular one. There's actually some stuff I can't craft at GM. Some of the doggone houses are higher than GM.
Ooh, that hurts. Gee, they should make them available and able to be crafted at GM level.
Yeah, when my guy failed making a board, he was a little disgruntled, so sometimes he gets mad.
Did he do the table flipping trick?
Yeah, he should have, yeah. 97% and I'm failing, I still suck at carpentry, even at GM.
Oh, no. Oh, that's tough. Don't you hate it when that happens?
It's kind of annoying. You know, I would say that at GM level, there's some items you should be able to make at 100%. You shouldn't fail making a box anymore. You shouldn't fail making a chair. You know, just, you know, I don't know why they can't do that for us.
Well, that's right. And look, for all we know, for all I know, certainly, that might be something that they're going to attend to closer to release. They might think, yeah, that's a bit more reasonable. They've got to iron things out and balance things up and just make it a little bit more user-friendly.
Make it so people aren't pulling their hair out quite so much.
That's right. And I have observed there's been quite a bit of discussion about the enchanting and masterwork issue. And I think there's a little bit of progress on that front, so that's good to see.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what they come up with that, because, yeah, the enchanting and stuff, that's horribly annoying to break things.
Oh, it is. I mean, when you've got a reasonable chance on your third go at enchanting or masterworking, and it fails like 5 times in a row when you should be getting 60 or 70 or 80%, yeah, that's just heartbreaking, and you've wasted so many materials.
Yeah, I do that every once in a while, just for the fun of it. I'll enchant something that I found or whatever, and then see how many goes I can get on it. And sometimes you get 3 done, but then nobody will buy it because it's not all that great. It's kind of sad.
Oh, that is sad, yeah. But in Chris's blog, and I guess you can't hold him to this, but he's at least thinking about it. He's saying, well, okay, one option might be, if you're doing your third enchanting or masterworking or whatever, you might get the message, okay, it's failed. Do you want to try and have another go and give up 0.1% of the XP you've put into crafting.
So that would reduce your crafting pool?
Yes, it would. Yes. Yeah, it would reduce your crafting pool by 1/1000th of what you've invested in the skill.
Wow, I wonder what that would come up to in amounts.
Yes, yeah, we would have to wait to find out. But I guess if you're crafting a really, really valuable item, either for yourself or for a customer, you might consider it worthwhile. It's not something that you do lightly, because nobody wants to start hacking into their XP pool.
Well, the thing I've noticed about crafting is you normally get a pretty good pool built up, because you're not normally working a lot of stuff. You're just working you always leave your upgrading stuff on. But all your basic skills should pretty much be done, right? You know, your butchering and all that stuff, it's kind of just stopped.
Yeah, true. That's right. Yes. I mean, I will admit that, yeah, my basic skills are okay. They're up there. But I don't do much crafting. And the little I do, I'm trying to push carpentry salvage so that I can get some of those elven bowstrings. And my crafting pool is only up to about 130,000 at best.
Okay, yeah, those things are kind of expensive to raise. I've got 1.5 million right now, and I recently GM'd my cooking, so I'm up to 4 main skills that are GM'd. And but I'm just saving points for when they add some more levels to our trees. That's what I'm kind of wondering about.
Yes, yes, and I think they're going to do that. I think they're going to flesh out the trees a bit and make it a bit more interesting and give more possibilities. And that'll make the crafters very happy.
Well, and I heard that they're going to maybe add some quantity things, you know, where you get more stuff than just one. That's what I'm really excited about. So I'm almost saving stuff, you know, like my obsidian meats. I'm saving some of those just in case I can get some extras, because those are hard to come by.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Absolutely. You're right. Okay, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But anyway, as we say, yeah, if you want to get any kind of clock this week, and they are beautiful, go and get them at the add-on store for 20% off.
Yeah, did you see the crafted clock tower? It's beautiful.
That is just amazing. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, the ornate one's probably better.
It's nice. Love it. Yeah. Oh, well. Still. All right, upcoming events. Well, the Postmortem Telethon, as we said, January the 8th, January the 12th, the party, yep. January 25th, release 50. Something to look forward to, nice. And February the 2nd, the Postmortem Telethon for same. February 22 is release 51. March the 9th to the 18th is SXSW. March the 21st to the 23rd is GDC. And guess what? March 22, 2018 is release 52. That's the launch.
Yeah, it's launch candidate, so they're still considering it, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. To me, that says that is the release that we have chosen to launch the game. Now, they could still be hedging their bets, you know, things could still go pear-shaped, and it might have to be postponed, but I think they're planning to use that release as the vehicle.
So my question is, what changes once we go into launch mode as compared to now?
To me, the only thing that changes is you don't get the introductory screen that says, you know, this is unfinished, you're entering into a construction area. You know, I acknowledge that I am entering a construction area. They won't ask you to do that, because as far as they're concerned, it's essentially finished. It's fully constructed, it's playable, and all the essential bits and pieces are in. But like most of the MMOs out there, every month you're still going to get an update anyway.
So we'll get our monthly updates and our patches and all those things, but we won't see all those little words on the top either of our screen that says, you know, what's it say now? I forget.
Oh, yes. No, I think you're right. I'm guessing this. I think you're right. Yeah, SOTA, Windows 64, and the date, early access. Yeah, you probably won't see that.
So it'll look, it won't have any of that kind of in-dev type stuff in the game anymore. That'll all be fleshed out to be real.
Yeah, I know. Awesome. I'm looking forward to this.
This is going to be fun, yeah. I'm excited to see if they can make that date and make everything good the way they want it to be, and then we'll go from there.
That's right. Yeah, that'll be great. Okay, and as they say, visit the community calendar to see the lineup of activities that's happening, and there is a release events thread in the forums for anything else. So there's lots of stuff happening in the community. Right, and you may remember they've had a creative writing contest recently, and it was the New Britannia Carolers Act 2, and that's finished, and they have winners, which is awesome. Says congrats to the following winners of the New Britannia Carolers Creative Writing Contest. Similar to previous contests, entries were selected based on the following themes. So the most inventive theme goes to Hroth. Congrats and kudos to you, Hroth.
Congratulations.
And the romantic theme goes to Moxie Pilot. Awesome.
Yeah.
The holiday theme, it was won by WRFB. Alias Waftum. Awesome, Waftum. Good on you, mate.
Good job.
Adventure theme to Catherine Rose. Congrats.
Congrats.
Character / NPC theme goes to Lone Stranger. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Congrats, Lone Stranger.
And the PvP combat theme goes to Darton Obscuro. Congrats.
Congrats.
And there was an unexpected theme that went to Lilu. Again, congrats and kudos and applause to all of you. That is fantastic.
Good job, guys.
And to everybody who entered. That was wonderful. It's amazing to see what creativity and skill comes from this community.
Yeah, we're full of all kind of talent here. It's just great.
Oh, we are. Yeah. And isn't it wonderful? All we have to do is sit here and report on it.
Yeah, no, we don't have to actually contribute to this talent. So, yeah, I like it.
I know, it's lovely. Okay, and the prizes, they get 25 Kotos each. Oh, lovely.
Cool, that's good.
Nice, and the winter holiday soundtrack on wax cylinders. Oh, that's lovely. Good on.
That's awesome.
Okay. And there's another contest running, which is still running. You've still got time to get it in. But we have weekly winners in the Avatar's Guide to Knowledge and Virtue. So if you know something that's pretty clever, how to do something, or how to get through some particular area, or whatever, how to develop your character, make a little video about it, because other people would love to see it. And this week's weekly winners are Crafting Complete by Datandruck, and that looks pretty good.
Yeah, I watched through these both. They're cool.
Oh, fantastic. And Caladorn's Gold Making Tips. So that'd be really handy for someone who's just starting out. Because remember when you just start this game, you got no money and got no idea how to make money.
No, you really do need these tips. They're very helpful to new players especially. It's very well done for new people.
That is fantastic. And that might go a long way to counteract the impression that some people get, oh, this game's too hard, can't get anywhere. Okay, just take a few tips. Learn from the community. There are ways you can do this, and it makes the game much easier. And once you actually start getting a bit of gold in your pocket and getting a few skills up, you feel much differently about it.
Well, I think once I get enough of these guides out, and anyone who's got concerns, I can go find the guide that they got concerns about and figure out how to do it.
That's right. That's exactly right. I think this is a brilliant initiative. There's a little link here. All current entries can be found here. So there's a link there to their YouTube page, and have a look at them all. It continues until the 15th of January, so anyone with any more bright ideas, you've still got time to put them in, please do it. And of course, there are always prizes, so you've got a chance to win something really good. Okay, next we have another spotlight on a town. Awesome.
Cool.
And this is the town of Moonglade, which is a player-owned town. It's located in the North Pallidus region of Novia. The metropolis of Moonglade was founded as a village alongside the more well-known U Town, which is getting a makeover for Release 50. Now these two towns share heavy traffic as goods are traded on a daily basis. Moonglade has a lot to offer, so we sent our very own community manager, Beric, to check it out. And here's what he wrote. He says, "Beric, friend of Novia to Outlanders far and wide. By royal decree, my travels have recently taken me in search of you, the hidden city of the elves, to learn of their culture and customs. While searching for the reclusive elves, several dark towers marking the metropolis of Moonglade reached above the tall trees bordering the hallowed plains. Perhaps the residents of Moonglade could direct me to the hidden city." Almost forgotten to time, the locals recount tales of you long past in which humans, not elves, lived in what we now call North Pallidus. Tall, densely packed trees encircle Moonglade, but the town is not the first to grace the forest glade. The earliest recorded settlement was built near the ruins of an ancient monastic citadel, the nature of which has likely been lost to the cataclysm. The ruins can still be explored not far from the city centre. There's a couple of lovely photos of the entrance to the town. That looks great, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. And he says, "Upon arriving at Moonglade, I initially received a mixed reception. On one hand, suspicious residents, wary of the rare traveller, and on the other, a warm welcome from Galmar Soixen, proprietor of a quaint and delightful stop, the Rifts Inn and its tavern. Several houses line the river to the left, and a large walled city centre lies just behind the tavern. The inn offers resupply and crafting amenities for weary travellers seeking refuge from the treacherous harvest trail. Rifts Inn sports a small outdoor amphitheatre, which has hosted shows authored by famous Novian playwrights such as Wombi." I tell you what, Wombi writes good stuff, doesn't he?
Oh, sure does.
"I could not help but take through Moonglade." Very nice, isn't it? "By this time, several of the city council had been made aware of my presence and rushed out to greet me. They impressed upon me their desire to put Moonglade on the map and that their remote town isn't as much of a backwater as rumours might have it. One councilman boasted of Moonglade's admittedly impressive courthouse. In a more hushed, if not, the town is primarily composed of three member guilds, Moongate Travellers, Nightwalkers, and an Order of Praetorian Knights, the latter of which acts as a volunteer city guard. In an effort to bring new growth to Moonglade, the city council is offering free room and board in Moonglade's inns and guest houses for members of these guilds, as well as non-guilded outlanders searching for a secure community. Conveniently located a very long stone's throw from central Brittany, Moonglade has much to offer an aspiring avatar in search of a home and a community. Safe travels, Beric." So any inquiries regarding Moonglade, residents, guild membership in any of the seated guilds, or guilds seeking a seat on the city council, please contact Asbury Baker. So the summary of amenities: outlanders new to Novia or those simply looking for a safe and secure home are always welcome in Moonglade. There are still several empty lots inside the city centre and free room and board in the inns. Residents who homestead in Moonglade are granted access to several commission-free vendors within the city. While the city centre and inns are reserved for members of the three governing guilds, members of the Tower of High Sorcery and the Ungilded, there is significant real estate available beyond the city walls for enterprising outlanders to create their own enclave, complete with crafting and magic merchants assigned to the new subdivision. For those passing through, a complete set of basic crafting stations and resupply merchants can be found at Rift's End Tavern. Higher quality crafting stations and a full set of devotionals may be found just inside the city walls. And finally, they say, there are so many towns and historical landmarks to explore throughout New Britannia. If you're interested in sharing your tales of adventure, message Community Manager Beric. Well, there you go. That's somewhere else to visit.
Sounds like a great place.
It certainly does. Okay. Now, next item, the Virtue Marathon 2018, the Children's Miracle Hospital Network. Avatars, on your marks. Airy Fund, Merits, and Portalarium invite you to join Team Avatars as we sprint and dash in support of the Children's Miracle Hospital Network. Join Lloyd British and the crew from Portalarium, Airy Fund, and Merits as we tackle the 5K, half marathon, and full marathon to raise funds and awareness for this wonderful charity at the Austin Marathon 2018. Okay. It's open to all community members, friends and families to attend and or support. So what is it and where is it? It's Sunday, the February the 18th. And where is it? In downtown Austin, Texas. Okay, I may not be able to get there in time.
That'd be a good trip for you.
Oh, it'd be a lovely trip, wouldn't it? Be fantastic. Yep. All I need is my own private jet and I'll be there.
There you go, yeah.
Alrighty. But to participate in the marathon, you register for Team Avatars, right? Join on the day in Austin, sign up for the event, and share the fundraising page with your friends and family. So you can help and you can support even if you can't be there. Any pledges received will go directly to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital. You can use the social share buttons at the top of the page to make it easy. And Airy Fund is providing all team members with a Team Avatar for the Virtues performance t-shirt for race day. Awesome.
Cool.
It'll be worth going for that alone. That's absolutely great. All right, next. Did you know that Shroud features moon dials? Yes, I did. But have you figured out how to read them?
That's the question.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they are beautiful. And if somebody sat me down and gave me a short course, I'm sure I'd understand them. But, yeah, they are wonderful, and if you understand them, they are awesome. So, but, this is Elgarian from So To Help with a regular Did You Know feature kicking off in 2018. And you can expect to see these posted regularly on community channels and here in the weekly update. Now, that's an awesome initiative too.
It is.
Now, did you know Shroud of the Avatar features amazing in-game moon dials? If you find one on an evening stroll, use it and look up. The constellations unfold before your eyes. But beware, Kabbalists also use the stars to direct their siege warfare, as we know they do. I think a number of the towns who have a lot of devotional spend a lot of their time under siege.
Yeah, I've got two towns right around me that they're always under siege. It's like, I don't know if it's worth it to have that many devotionals.
Yeah, that's right. But at least I've mastered the technique. If you run fast, you can just run through the siege. It's just a little bit of annoyance. It's a couple of extra loading screens and away you go.
Yeah, I try to make the best of them and I'll just shoot everybody and loot their stuff because they have the same stuff on their bodies as everything else you loot. So it's kind of easy.
Yeah, that's right. And if you shoot the engineers, you get a lot of wood. It's great.
Yeah, now I can't kill the engineers because I can't get to them. They're surrounded by horrible things.
yes, like the Ebon champions and high wizards.
Yeah, and then the guys that shoot you and kill you pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah, still. Oh, well. Okay, but yes, if you can work out the moon dials, they're fabulous. Okay, recommended project to support, Dennis Lube, Patreon. Our good friend Dennis Lube, and the one responsible for Shroud of the Avatar's cover art, and almost every piece of cover art for Ultima, as well as many other art pieces in SOTA's early days of development, is now running his own project. And that sounds like a great thing to support, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. He's got some great pictures.
Yeah, he does. He's creating more science fiction and fantasy art for you to support, so check it out. And as he says, if you remember the Ultima series of computer games, I'm the guy that did most of the covers and the manual illustrations, as well as a lot of the in-game art and animation. I've been doing game art since the 80s. for companies such as Steve Jackson Games, Hero Games, Origin Systems Incorporated, King's Isle, Disney, and many more. And now he wants to try doing art directly to his fans with no middleman. And that's the reason for this Patreon project, so that's fantastic. So there's a little link there if you'd like to support Dennis and get some art directly from him. That would be great. I've seen a few people walking around with character portraits done by Indy Martin, and boy, they do look good.
Yeah, Indy Martin also has some good stuff, so yeah, there's some great talent here.
There certainly is, yep. Okay, nearly there. Resources, players helping players. There's a new player welcome forum. There's a little link to it there. And the player created resources forum. They've got the best stuff. Anything you need to know, anything you don't know or don't understand, just go there. And they will almost certainly be able to answer your questions. And there's also a community resources page. Have a look at the little link there in the news release. And you will find pretty much all your questions answered. So that's great. It's wonderful what the community does for each other.
It is.
And finally, we're not saying it too much longer. Thank goodness, backer shipping addresses. The physical goodies are coming out very soon. So make sure that in your profile page, you've got your address listed so they know where to send it all to. And if you don't, you won't get your lovely printed cloth map or any of the other nice things. So there we are. All right, that would be the news of the week.
Great stuff. A lot of stuff this week. Good stuff.
It is a nice lot of stuff this week. Very much looking forward to release 50 with all the new stuff in it. Be interesting to see the telethon next week. And, of course, release 52 in March. That is going to be very exciting.
I can't wait to see how much progress they make in these next few releases, because they literally have to cover all the things that are holding up the launch. So yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, they've probably got some kind of insane timetable at the office there. And people probably go to work each day and look at it and think, oh my God.
And I'm thinking, how are we going to do this in 3 months? This isn't fair. Yeah, it's not enough time. Right.
Yes. Oh, well. They'll get through it, and we'll get a wonderful game out of it, I'm sure.
I'm actually looking forward to launch because, you know, that's when things really start really getting better, because they can start adding all these other things we've been hoping for, the mounts and the boats and all those fun things.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to all of that. That's great. Yeah. The mounts, love to have a horse to ride on, love to be able to sail my boat out in the ocean, and love to be able to swim underwater, and a whole lot of other things.
Yeah, the game will just get so much more vast and more exciting once we get all these next set of features. It's just going to be great.
Yep. And I'm sure all of the people who criticize the game on various forums and take delight in poking fun at it and generally trolling, I don't know if they realize that it's being done by a pretty small team, and it's not even finished yet, and it probably won't be what you'd term fully finished for the next few years, because stuff's just going to be kept on adding to it.
Yeah, that's the problem. There's a lot of basic MMO features that are missing only because they haven't got to it yet. So, yeah, patience is not working out very well with a lot of these people.
No, that's right. And I think it's sad that a lot of people out there, whether they just enjoy doing it for the sheer annoyance factor of it, or whether they can't bear somebody liking something that they don't like, and they have to, that they feel responsible to take them down or take the game down or whatever, they just get out there and badmouth something. Look, if they don't like the game, that's fine. It's not for everybody. But they have to realize an awful lot of people do. And I think it's going to do rather well.
Yeah, I'm sure once we get all these things in here that are kind of basics, I think this game is going to grow. It's going to really make a huge difference. I just hope the servers are ready for it.
So do I. Yeah. I don't know what sort of a battering they're going to get on day one, but yes, I hope they are ready for it.
Yeah, let's see thousands of people come here and mess the servers up so we can really be happy.
Absolutely. Okay, but now I guess it's back into it and see what we can do for this week.
Yeah, have a good week, everybody. Get in the game, have fun.
Awesome.
The awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teakle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.